Bloomington Normal defense attorneys Josh Rinker and Jeff Brown say they're a lot like the rest of the nation in periodically finding they have lost track of work for a bit and watched the trial of Derek Chauvin, the police officer accused of murdering George Floyd in Minneapolis. Rinker and Brown talk with correspondent Edith Brady Lunny about what the case might look like in McLean County. Both are former prosecutors. In smaller towns, prosecutors often have close personal relationships with police officers, as well as professional ones, which can make it difficult to file charges against cops. Jeff Brown says the case of a serial rapist shows that is not the history in Bloomington Normal.
Probably depends on the crime. I mean, for instance, the Pilo case. There was no one from the police department getting behind Pilo. He was friends with a lot of police officers, and he was one of the team until they figured out what he'd been doing. Judge Yoder was the state's attorney at the time, and Mark Messman and Sandy Thompson tried that one, and it was stressful. A lot of prosecutors lost a lot of weight that year.
Right.
But everybody went at it 100%, and I think the investigation through the Bloomington Police Department was top-notch. Now, if it was something that was a little closer to the line in the gray area, I think that it would be more difficult to maintain some of those relationships.
The other case that comes to mind to me was the 2013 case of Gabriella Calhoun. I don't know if you remember that case, but she was a younger college student who was involved in an altercation with police at Denny's. She was the one who was charged with an aggravated battery, and she was acquitted by a jury. It turned on more on the police conduct than her conduct in many respects. One of the things about that case, too, was that there was video available to show her reaction to being harmed by a police officer during that altercation. What difference does it make now that we have, of course, in the Chauvin case, the video evidence is just overwhelming. Yeah. How do you think that plays into the prosecution of a case, Josh?
I think it plays a major role. And it's, you know, certainly as a defense attorney, I welcome video evidence. It's always my position that the more evidence I have, the less guesswork we have to do about what happened. We can still argue about interpretation of what that video evidence shows, but it eliminates so much ambiguity. From all the law enforcement I've talked to, other than the, you know, the training and the additional expense to the agencies, which I certainly understand, I think they welcome it because no more can there be these allegations that something happened that didn't. We simply play Monday morning quarterback and review the footage.
Yet it's still hard, isn't it, Jeff, to get charges filed in cases where there's allegations of abuse by police. Why is it still so hard, do you think? I mean, we see more settlements in police cases than we do charges and trials.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think back to all the way to Rodney King. I think there was some video in the Rodney King case back in the 90s. And there's a long history going back at least that far, because I don't remember much before that, of police officers on video committing these types of acts, and they're still acquitted. There was just a case down in St. Louis where one police officer was acquitted and two police officers, it was a mistrial. They were tried for beating up an actual undercover police officer. All over the country, there's been video of police officers in these situations. And I think juries want to believe that police officers are always good, because the alternative might not be such a great thing to think about. I think the majority of them are. I'm friends with many police officers in Bloomington, and they're good people. That makes it harder when there's one that goes rogue.
Is there backlash in the community, do you think? I mean, this has raised questions and commentary across all communities in the country about their own police departments and what might be possible. Do you think it makes it hard for local police when trials like this are going on, Josh?
I absolutely do. Granted, I'm not on the street at 1 a.m., you know, dealing with an intoxicated subject, so I wouldn't even begin to know what that's like. But I definitely think they're feeling the heat, and whether or not they've done anything wrong themselves. I mean, we might have a complete Boy Scout on our hands. In that interaction, you have to imagine with the political climate we're dealing with and with the, you know, seemingly tense race relations between certain law enforcement agencies and just the Black Lives Matter movement, it's probably running through the back of everyone's mind. And that's not just law enforcement, but also the potential subject in that case. My personal concern is that raising the tension for each of these interactions, whereas it might not have been there before? And are we perceiving slights that don't exist on both sides, both from law enforcement as well as from a potential subject? I don't know, but that would be my concern. Are we creating a powder keg environment that is meant to bust? Yeah, it's very scary.
Jeff, you have friends who are law enforcement, and I hear from some of them that they're thinking about early retirement because of some of the situation that they're seeing across the country, that they're concerned that they're not going to be able to effectively do their job after some of these things have happened. Do you hear that from them as well?
Absolutely. That's what I'm hearing, is that it's made a difficult job, even more difficult, maybe unbearable for some police officers. You know, it's easy for people to judge how they handle things later on, and the police officers I talk to are kind of frustrated right now.
When you have a client like a Derek Chauvin, you still have to try to put together a defense for them. Yeah. How do you approach something like that when you only have to work with what you have to work with, right?
Absolutely. As defense lawyers, we often get a bad rap sometimes, as you know. You're maybe unfairly connected to the allegation of your client, but you're absolutely right. There's an obligation to pursue to the fullest extent of the law and within the confines of ethics, defenses for your client. And in this case, I think that video evidence is tough. I would start with the charges. Okay, what has to be specifically proven? And even if we can all agree that some things happened and get past it, right? The 9 minutes and what was it, 47 seconds. I don't think you're going to be able to dispute that that occurred. There's a video of it, but there's certainly a mental state component to this. They got to prove that it was intentional or knowingly. And they're going to have to prove, at least for the more serious offense, that it occurred during the commission of a felony offense. I think the underlying felony here for Derek Chauvin was assault and battery, the Minnesota equivalent of that. So they're going to have to prove that this wasn't unintentional in the sense that, hey, I'm just trying to subdue this guy, but I'm intentionally battering him and he accidentally died as a result of that battery. I think that's a big hill to get over from a state's perspective. But there's a lesser offense here, that third degree murder. Right. Which seems to be much more akin to our reckless homicide. I think that's probably the more problematic charge for Derek Chauvin. If I was his defense attorney, that would be the advice and counsel I would be providing him.
Part of the trial, too, on the defense side, is trying to point out that Chauvin had drugs in his system. Is there a risk, Jeff, in maybe crossing a line there where you're blaming the victim? How do you walk that fine line?
Oh, that's always the question in these cases.
With an eraser, right?
Right. I'm putting myself in the defense lawyer's shoes, and maybe that's all they have. Maybe that's, they're like, okay, well, let's give this a shot because we're kind of out of options here.
The jury in the Chauvin case is pretty diverse. You have several black men and women on the jury, and you have a couple people who identify as biracial on the jury. Do you think we could get that kind of diversity on a jury in McLean County? Would that be possible?
When I think back to the jury pools that I have typically had to select from, whether or not my client is an African-American or whether they're Caucasian or Hispanic or whatever, the traditional pool that I have had to choose from has been predominantly Caucasian. And I would say, on average, one or two, typically African Americans in my jury pool. In most cases of a normal, you know, offense, something like this, you'd bring in a much bigger pool, obviously. You're looking at what, Jeff, 35 typically in the room from?
Yeah, 35, and maybe you get two minority.
Yeah. So two individuals would be identified as people of color of some, you know, race or ethnicity. And so I think it's doubtful that you would get such a diverse jury here. Now, that's not a criticism of McLean County. It's the demographics that we live in. And in this case, I think it's, you know, important to note that I don't believe Derek Chauvin's identified it as any sort of racial minority, as I understand it. So he'd probably qualify as a Caucasian, a white guy. And so the law as it exists doesn't necessarily require him to have a diverse racial makeup or for opposing sides to not remove people because of race necessarily, the way it would in a Batson challenge here, where you could do that if your client was an African-American.
Right. And you were found to deliberately knock them off or out of the jury pool. That would be a problem.
Yeah.
So what kind of problem would that present to you, Jeff, as a defense lawyer? If you had a similar situation, do you?
Well, it might be the opposite of what the state usually wants. I mean, I think the state would want as many minorities on the jury as possible, because minorities have experienced or more likely to experience, you know, a more aggressive police officer maybe, whereas, you know, a white guy like me doesn't run into that generally. So it might be just the opposite of what they normally would want. And, I was thinking about Batson. You know, Batson basically said that a police or the state can't knock minorities off of the jury pool just because they're a minority. And this would be the opposite of that. And I don't know how that works. I do think that it would be a much more difficult case here. I do think that they would charge it, but it would be a tough case.
Bloomington Normal defense attorney Jeff Brown says it's noteworthy that a $27 million civil settlement in the Chauvin case happened before the criminal trial. Brown says that might be because the city thought it might be worse after the trial. Brown and attorney Josh Rinker spoke with correspondent Edith Brady Lunny.